Good morning, everyone. Sorry for my voice. It's very froggy, we say. So you please, bao rong, that you will be able to hear and understand what I'm saying this morning. It's a blessing to be here. This, I believe, is the third time I've been with you, and I enjoy coming back to see you. I'm sorry my wife couldn't come to be with you. Her health is not so good right now, but she is praying for you. And speaking of that, my sending church, which is Pastor Scott and everyone there from New Life, 45 years ago, that church sent me to Hong Kong here, to Macau. So I've been associated with them as a missionary for actually 46 years. But I was a member of that church since 1977. So that's before most of the New Life folks even attended that. So you see my white hair? Lawanjala. I'm an old man. But it's a great privilege for me to have my sending church pastor here and you folks being with him. That's great. So I'm the old man. They sent me many years ago. Jiawadabang. Is this man right here, Nathan, Pastor Nathan. He's the second generation coming. So, praise the Lord for that. This church is a sending church. Very important. Now, be praying, who's going to be the third generation to come to serve the Chinese people? We are praying for that. In addition, I have a home church, Wadimuhui, and all of the elders, six elders besides me, they have been praying for you all weekend. And they're praying for me right now that my my voice might last and that the Spirit of God will use me to speak to you and with you. So they are asking God's blessing, Shana Juhu, come upon you as we speak and share our time together. So today we are getting to talk about blessed are those who mourn and who weep as well. So, as Pastor Scott probably said last week, one of the hardest messages we ever preached is this one. One verse, actually half a verse. So, as we get into the Word of God here, we ask the Spirit of God to help lead us and guide us in this time here. Now, I've been in the Chinese world for many, many years, and I know a lot about Chinese people, not as much as I should, but I know one thing, Chou Zhufu, Meng Zhufu. Chinese people are always wanting to be blessed, receive a blessing. They have all kinds of sayings about getting blessed. Actually, Chinese New Year, many times they put those red signs up. It has a sense of receiving blessing. Chinese people love blessing. Now, today, on our scripture, actually, you just heard, the Chinese lady said, "Huo," that means woe. And if you go around to many buildings here in Hong Kong or Macau or southern China, you'll see these little god shelves all around there, Tu Di Gong and these others, Guanin, they're there to protect the house from having bad stuff come in to the house. They're trying to preserve the blessing in the house and the peace, and keep the bad stuff out. So there's a real sense in the Chinese world of sense of wanting to be blessed and wanting to have peace as a result of that. So Jesus actually spoke about this concept here in our text in Luke. So today, many of you were yesterday, the last 2 days in our classes in how to study the Bible. So I'm going to try to give you a lesson in observation, of interpretation, as well as application. So there's kind of three parts to what I'm going to try to say here this morning. So we want to think about observation, some of the things we're reading this text in Luke here, and it's the blessings. Actually, they're called Beatitudes. They call it Ba Fu in Chinese, or this is Si Fu in Chinese for Luke here. And we want to have, there's actually kind of a background to this. It just didn't start with Jesus. The Chinese people, oh sorry, the Jewish people many, many years ago, previous to Jesus' time, before they actually went in to the promised land, there, God had them get this idea. Up here we see in Deuteronomy 27, before they even went across, before Joshua took them into the land, then they were told to go in and says, when you cross the Jordan, you know how he went across the Jordan, took every people, the Jordan River got dry, they went across, and they went up there, and there are two mountains, right, in the center part there of the land. And he said, okay, you guys, these tribes here, you go up on the south side. That's Mount Gerizim. You go up on Mount Gerizim, and you tribes stand there. So he wanted to actually enact this. He didn't just, here he just told them, but he said, now when you get across the river, you actually go in there, because we're going to talk about blessing and we're going to talk about cursing. So he said, and you others here, when you guys get across, you other tribes, then you go, there's a valley here, and then you go up on the mountain called Ebal, Gerizim and Ebal, and you tribes, these tribes right here, stand up here, and then you shout back and forth, blessing, cursing, blessing, cursing. This idea of concept of blessing didn't just start with Jesus. This is steeped within the Israeli Jewish culture. And it's not just Jewish, actually, either. Chinese people have had it for centuries. Other groups and tribes have had it for many, many years as well. But there's this background when Jesus actually talks and gives us blessings and woes here, then there's actually a background for that, why he did that. It's not just starting there. Now, if you look at this, because now we're just still doing observation, thinking about what happened in this text here. When Jesus spoke, the text here says, blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are weak now, and you will laugh. Okay, right here is what we're wanting to, where is it at? Right here is where we're working on. But when you look at this, now you know, those of you who know Chinese, look right up here. It's called Dui Cheng. You look at that and you can work. As soon as you see that in Chinese, even if you don't know Chinese, you say, whoa, those words are all parallel. They fit. Xin shi ben. That's because this is poetry. When you look at the Beatitudes here in Luke, it's very easy to see the whole section, verse 20 through 26 actually is all poetry. So when Jesus is giving this, he's giving Hebrew poetry to the people, teaching them. And we got to think, now, who is he giving it to? Because when you look at, if you look at verse, I believe it's 20. Let me see here. Yes, verse 20. He set his eyes upon the disciples. They had just been up on a mountain with his disciples. He called them, the 12 disciples, and they came down kind of a flat area. So he gives them these Luke the Beatitudes here. Now, we all know the famous Beatitudes, the eight Bafu, are in Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, super famous. But in that text, they didn't come down off the mountain. They stayed up on the mountain. But in this text, they went down the mountain, sat down there, but all the same, disciples are the ones who were the first readers, the first listeners to hear these Beatitudes and these woes coming out of Jesus' teaching. So here they are down here, and Jesus goes right into poetry. Now, if I may ask some of you that were in my class, why would Jesus use poetry and not prose? What now? Louder. Get your imagination going. That's exactly right. Jesus says this, they start thinking, their imagination goes. It's not just reading along in the prose stuff. Oh, here comes poetry out of the blue. Why would he use poetry? grab their hearts, grab their thinking, grab their imagination, and pull them into Him and what He's actually teaching them, because He's teaching them basically about what's going to happen as He starts His kingdom work upon the earth. And those 12 disciples, they just got called maybe hours before, and now fresh into, I'm a disciple now, just so to speak, been ordained. Now they go out and they're going to start their ministry. So Jesus grabs their attention and teaches in a very easy way. And yesterday, brother, you said, why use poetry? It's so easy to remember. It is. Compared to prose, it's super easy to remember. So Jesus, He's actually a very good teacher, right? Of how He does this, he can use different ways of teaching this. So, as we think about that, then we want to go on down to the next one here, and we look at 6:25, and we look at that. Woe to you who are well fed now, and you'll be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, and you'll mourn. Again, if you look at it in the Chinese, real easy to see, continued poetry. Now, with this poetry, it's something that's, they list one, Hebrew poetry is almost always in parallel. One line says some words, next line says some other words, but they basically mean the same thing. So that's kind of true, the fundamental Hebrew poetry, but in this, it has the form, but actually each line has a bit of a different meaning, and what Jesus did here. So He uses the traditional form, but He does it, twist it a little bit in how He articulates, how He teaches the people what He's trying to get across, these disciples, how what they're supposed to do as they move along in their ministry of establishing, helping establish the kingdom upon earth here. Well, these are all pretty good things that we've seen here. But then with Jesus, when He talks to His disciples, He's continuing to think. Now, these disciples, some of them are, not many of them are really well-educated, right? They're hard workers, they're fishermen, and they actually have great hearts, willing to follow Jesus. So, He knows that when you go out there and you start telling people about the kingdom, about who Jesus is, about the gospel, people are going to start laughing at you. Many people are going to make more money than you'll ever make. Many people are going to have great name up on earth. There's going to be many, many people that do that because they're not going to put their time in earning money. They're not going to put their time in getting greater education and learning how to be better farmers and better fishermen. They're going to go out and figure out how to connect with people. And when you do that, you usually don't make much money. I can attest to that. Missionaries don't get rich, okay? But we're rich in relationships, I'll tell you that for sure. But the idea is that He knows what they're up against. These young disciples, never done this before, first ones called by Jesus, they're going to face this whole cultural milieu of things that's going to give them pressure. And there's going to be comparison all the time. Why don't you do this? Why aren't you as smart as him? Why don't you make as much money? Why don't you go do this and that? There's going to be all kinds of that pressure upon them, because if you believe in Jesus and follow him in that generation, you're going to get persecuted. Now, in my ministry in Macau, there, we have, when people would come to Christ, before they get baptized, we developed 6 lessons on baptism. And in the 4th lesson of baptism, then we go along how to believe in Jesus, how Jesus is with you forever. But then in the 4th lesson there, I talk about, okay, in Philippians 1:29, it says, if you believe in Jesus, you're going to suffer for your faith. Before they get baptized, I tell everybody, we told everybody, that if you believe in Jesus, you really believe in Jesus, you're going to suffer for your faith. You're going to suffer for this. It's going to cost you. Do you still want to be baptized? Believe in Jesus so great, the rest of your life will be great. No problems. You won't ever get sick. You make a lot of money. Everybody will like you. No. believing in Jesus takes a cost. When you believe in Jesus, he tells people they have sin. When you believe in Jesus, he goes against the main cultural values of the day. What the culture says and what Jesus says, the kingdom culture, just different, upside down. When you follow Jesus, you're going to have to know it's worth it, but it's going to cost something. So brothers and sisters, today sitting here, you're very relaxed. You have a very nice, you have great freedom right here in Hong Kong. You have so much. But many places in the world, this is not so. You have a lot of people looking at you and say, oh, well, why don't you make more money? Oh, I won't use any Chinese, but like there's lots of pressure comparison on us here in Hong Kong. So I want to do some more things here. One thing I haven't talked about yet is this idea right here, prophecy. I don't know, Pastor Scott probably last week told you, I'll just say it again, that actually these Beatitudes are small prophecies. So what is a prophecy? Basically, it tells something that's going to happen in the future. Now, this is not telling about when the Antichrist is going to come or when Jesus is going to come, but it's telling about what's going to happen to them in the future. Now, right now, you're in this context, but in the future, this prophecy, this is going to happen to you. So, when we read this, we not only have poetry, but we have that third, the third type of literature is prophecy. All right, so here we go. Now, this is a little bit more, don't fall asleep on me here. In these two phrases, these two sentences, there are actually some verbs in there. So we're going to look at those shortly and see what they might mean and what they bring out, as well as the pronoun. But I want to look here. Now, here it is, and I want you to look right here in the center part. This is Greek. I teach Greek, by the way. And as we look at these two words right here, this is what's called a participle. They're kind of like a verb, but they act kind of like a noun. So right here, the ones who weep, the weeping ones, we could say that, tsaikuderen, this is a participle, and he's telling them, you guys are likely going to be weeping right now. I just called you, and now you just come off the mountain pretty elated, pretty excited, but I tell you, it's pretty sad. Chirku, we're going to have some problems here. Those who are weeping, and it's going to be bothering them. But don't worry, because in the future, you're going to laugh. The world tells us, laugh right now, because enjoy what you have right now. Who knows what's going to happen? Jesus' culture is not. Right now, you're going to have problems, but in the future, it's going to be great. Right now, we believe in Jesus, and we're going to face many difficulties, but when we get to heaven, it is going to be, how do we be? It's going to be so wonderful to be with Jesus, to be there forever and ever with him. Jesus' teaching, there's a book called The Upside Down Kingdom in English, and it says, like, the values of the world are not ours. They're not Jesus's. This value comes from Jesus. He said, right now, people are weeping. Yes, believers, especially 12 disciples, you're going to be having problems. You're going to be weeping. You're going to have some tough situations. But don't be afraid. Don't give up hope, because in the future, right here, you're going to laugh. The last one standing is going to be the one that wins, is going to be the one left. Those are going to be the 12 disciples and those of us who believe and follow Jesus. So that's one of the things that's important out of this. Now, another thing here about 25b, as it flips it over here, is that those who are laughing right now, those people who are laughing right now, they're going to be flipped upside down. That you think, oh, you see so many people around you making money, driving fancy cars, just have great bank accounts, nice home here, maybe a home up in China, maybe a home over in Canada somewhere. Oh, boy. Oh, Shenmue. I'm just so jealous of them. It's just, if I could only be like that. Many people kind of have that sense and feeling. But Jesus said, don't look at it that way. What you see right there, that's not the way the world is going to really work. my kingdom, with the values of my kingdom, right now, these people, they are laughing right now, but in the end, they are not going to be laughing. They're going to be suffering in hell, suffering in eternity away from Jesus, black and torment, for the rest of eternity. 70 years, maybe 80 years of enjoyment, all for what? To spend eternity without Jesus in suffering? Is that really worth it? Jesus says no. Jesus said the value right now is follow Jesus right now. Enjoy Him. Be like Jesus. Don't try to be like the world. The world's going to cheat you. The world's going to have you end up with nothing. You keep following the world and the values of the world, you're going to lose it. And it's not going to end up, you may have a sizable bank account, a car or two, or a house or two, but you cannot take that when you get on your deathbed. Sorry. Real life starts when you go into the hospital and people are on their deathbed right there. And they'll say, oh, if I had only. I've been at this for many, many years. I've been in the hospital ministry. I've seen hundreds and hundreds in there. And almost everyone, except for one person I know, everyone's on Hohui. Why didn't I spend more time with Jesus, building in the kingdom, building for Jesus, and I just longed for it. I just wasted most of my life. Yes, I got money, but what is that money? I cannot take that with me. So, brothers and sisters, Jesus is teaching us there some things about His kingdom, values in His kingdom. So these Beatitudes, they are here to help shore up, help build up those 12 disciples who just received the call to go out and start the ministry and carry it worldwide. Well, I got a few more things here I want to talk about first of all. Here about these tenses of the verbs. Now you say, oh, brother, I didn't come here to church to learn about English grammar. Well, I understand that, but you're going to get a little lesson anyhow. So right here, I want to take you back. This word right here, that participle, is called the present tense. It's going on right now. Those guys are laughing right now and having a great time. In the world, they're laughing and having a great time. And these guys up here, they've just filled themselves, they're gluttons, and they're so full, and it's a perfect tense, it's called, they're just in the state of a continual feeding themselves royally. Mostly just taking their time and enjoying life, eating whatever they want, getting whatever they want. Now you say, is this literal? Are people really laughing? Is Jesus talking about, are they really laughing, or is it metaphorical? Well, I'll say, first of all, it's likely very very literal. But I think it can be metaphorical as well, have those two basic meanings in there. Because you know people, you have friends, qi xiao mi. Oh, you went to church today? Oh, and you even give money to the church, zhan de qi xi na. You have problems. You guys, you not only give your Sunday and your time to Jesus, to the church, you also give your money. What is wrong with you? You are losing out. You know anybody like that? Ever hear that? I've heard it for 40 years. Oh, brothers and sisters, you're investing. You're investing your time, you're investing your finances in the kingdom. The values of the kingdom are worth it. And He is trying to tell His disciples, these values are eternal values, the world's values are temporal, and they're going to have you end up with nothing there. So, next I want to come down here for an interpretation. So, when we think about Jesus, who were His hearers that day? Jesus gave this up on the mountain. He actually came down the mountain, and as we know in verse 20, it was 12 disciples. All right? So we got to think about when Jesus gave this story to the 12 disciples initially, this is maybe like in 30 AD, 32 AD, something like that, Jesus talked to His disciples, taught them. So here's what He's trying to tell those 12 disciples. kingdom values are different from current Jewish, Greek, and Aramaic, Roman world values. It's different. It's no different from the values of Hong Kong, the values of China, the values of America. It's the same principle. Jesus' values are different. Whose values are you going to adopt? Whose value are you going to have this, like we say, conviction? And rintong, these ideas are going to take it with you. Kingdom values focus on enjoying a positive future in the kingdom with the King. Jesus is telling personally, I saved you, I called you, you follow my values, you're going to be with me forever. How do we be? Right? What could get better to be with Jesus? I want to be with Jesus. That's why people call me a Jesus freak. Since 1974, people have called me a Jesus freak. He's the Fungza. I go to Macau, we stand on the street, pass out tracts. Oh, Yesu Fungza, Gong Yesu, Gong Yesu, Moma Yala. Oh, they chi shao, you know, they just laugh at me. Oh, you're standing up there making a fool of yourself. Praise the Lord. Because every time I show my long nose out there, who are they going to think about? Jesus. I represent Jesus. You represent Jesus. Why are we here? Jesus. He loves you so much, He gave His life for you. And if He gave His life for you, that means there's going to be an end thing. Heaven's going to be the good part, hell, and going down is going to be the bad part. So, let's walk with Jesus. He saved us. Don't fumble around. Don't yao bai. Don't rock back and forth and say, oh my, should I go with Jesus? Should I stay with, I got to get a PhD. I got to get that. If I don't get a PhD, well, me, oh, ming, oh, all this stuff. Ah. Follow Jesus. Get a PhD for Jesus. Don't get a PhD for you or your dad. Whatever you do, do it for Jesus. He's the one that saved you. He's the one that gives you life. He's the one that's going to carry you through. He's the one that's going to be on the other end. Say, welcome home. Come with me. Enjoy the kingdom forever. The Jesus values are worth it. Now, let's think about Luke. Now, here Luke comes. He's the one that wrote the book, right? He didn't write to the 12 apostles. He wrote this book many years after Jesus spoke these words. So Luke has a different audience. We call it Duja. The readers are different. Who is the reader? Who are the readers? Well, we know in Luke that it is Theophilus. Luke wrote this book to tell Theophilus what Christianity is about and how Jesus came about, what His kingdom values are, and what's going to be the end. How to live for Jesus, Luke tells him. Tells this guy Theophilus. Now, Luke is a doctor, and if you compare the Matthew text of the Beatitudes and Luke's text, Matthew, his Greek is not quite so good. Luke's Greek is quite amazing. Luke, he took this thing and made the four blessings, put those beautiful Hebrew poetry in Greek, and then he drops down and he does these four beautiful woes in Greek as well. A perfect combination, a perfect three chunk. It's quite amazing when you read it. The symmetry is enjoyable. Now Luke, his reader is Theophilus, one guy. Not a whole bunch of people, just one person. So he wrote the whole book, 26 chapters, to one man. Telling this one man, now, Theophilus, I want you to know, this is maybe 20, 25 years after Jesus taught the disciples. 25 years later, we've already had Christianity spread through for many places, and Luke is telling, you followed what Jesus said in these Beatitudes, you will set your life straight. If you want to understand Christianity, look at what Jesus wrote here. There are blessings and there are curses. You follow Jesus. You don't want to be up on the curse side because you will get cursed. When the Jewish people went in, stood up on Mount Ebal, stood up on Mount Mount Gerizim. The Jewish people, many years later, 400 and some years, they did not take and observe the Sabbath year. 400 and some years. How many years did they get thrown into Babylon? 70. 70 years of captivity because they disobeyed that basic thing. They didn't obey what God told them to keep my commandments. You'll get blessing. They did not keep it. God let them go for 400 and some years. But in the end, everyone got taken out of the land. You will get cursed if you don't obey what God says. It's pretty fundamental type of thing. So Luke is telling Theophilus, now look at this is true. Jesus means what he says. Theophilus, you want to become a Christian, or maybe already is, then here's Jesus' kingdom values. Go with it. Okay, comes up to us right here. What does this text have to tell us about mourning and weeping, laughing and crying? You are an audience sitting right here today. How will you apply this in your life? The principle is Jesus' fundamental basic values of his kingdom. Are his values greater, more precious than your cultural values? Or are they not? Your decision. He told the 12 disciples, you're going to face all kinds of problems. I know it. So many of my people coming from southern China, when they went to get baptized, they went home and told their parents, oh my goodness, they got so much pressure, so much persecution. Others went up in the north, more northern China, went up there, and oh my goodness, did they get the pressure? Hucha, if you know what I'm talking about, yeah, that all happens for their faith in Jesus. Those of us who are in a great opportunity right here, how are we going to live our lives? How are you guys teaching your children? Are you teaching them they have to get the best grades, go to the best school, and get the best university education so they can get the best job, become a nurse, a doctor, or some PhD, something? Is that the value you want to instill in your children? Is that Jesus' kingdom value? I'm not saying it's bad, but is that the value? The value is live for Jesus. Teach your children how to live for Jesus. Put Jesus first in every decision. No matter what decision it is. Go to college, ask Jesus to guide you. Be the Lord of that. You get some job, don't just go get a job. First ask Jesus, do you want me to go get that job? Put Jesus' values first, not your own. Jesus is our Lord. Jesus is the one that set up this kingdom. Jesus is the one leading us. Do we want to laugh now and suffer later? No. We don't want our children to laugh now and enjoy it. Yes, we want them to have a better education, a better life than I did. I understand. But if we teach them that value, what they're doing, I was in Peizhong Zhongxue, Xiaomu, for 20-some years. It's the best school in Macau. I know all about this education stuff. I wouldn't send my children there because they taught, oh, your grades are not as good as hers. You got to get better grades than you. And mom and dad adopt that. And then compare everybody. Oh, it's terrible what it does. Now, I want my children to get a good education, but not at the expense of other people and looking down on them. Okay, in closing. On the airplane, I was all prepared. I was going to be very careful on the airplane and not talk to anybody. Because I knew every time I come to China out here, I get this, my throat kills me. Every time. So I was not going to talk, just mushing, you know, be nice to everybody sitting next to me, do that kind of stuff. But this lady, she kept bugging me. She's from Shanghai. She just kept bugging. She's Shanghai run. Okay, and then find out, well, do you know what Liu Si is? In 1989, June the 4th, you all know kind of that background. She was a student in Shanghai at that time. So she's 56 years old right now. So we were talking, and now she actually escaped to America and got to America, got a great education, married a white guy, long nose, you know, what better? And then now she has two sons. Oh, and bang, you know, 两个儿子,没女儿. Okay, then we got, oh, they went to USC. Oh, it's not as good as Harvard, but USC, 真好啊, 很有名啊. You know, so it's like, oh my goodness, this lady, she has three businesses. She's traveled all over the world. Literally, she tells me where, she didn't go to Antarctica yet, but everywhere else she's been. I said, oh my goodness, girl, what are you doing? You know, and then she said, you know, I've been to church a few times in Seattle there, and they tell me about Jesus. And so I said, well, that's nice. So at that point, I had to start talking. Because Jesus is giving me an opportunity to witness, so I can't just pizza, you know, and I got to deal with it. So I said, okay, well, what do you mean about Jesus? What's about Jesus, this and that? She's thinking, oh, he's wonderful. He died for our sins and all this. And I said, do you believe it? She says, I believe everything but him resurrecting. I said, well, that's interesting. All right. So then I said, well, how is your life right now? Well, and sure by. John Dao Shijia, I'm very wealthy. My sons are very well educated. Okay, what are they doing up in space aeronautics or whatever, engineer? You know, it's really a great job for the boys. The boys don't want to talk to her. She's divorced her husband. She divorced him, not him divorced her. Okay? You can, Ni Chang Ren, huh? Well, you can understand why. Who would want to live with her on you, you know? Oh, terrible. So here she is talking, you know, just sharing and sharing. Literally, she just pestered me for 4 hours. And then, at the very last, I says, you know, Miss So-and-so, I said, Miss So-and-so, you know, it's a decision. You know what the right thing is to do. Why not just decide? What do you keep going back and forth? There's nothing go back and forth. Yao yao, mei yong. The more you go like this, the worse your life gets. Believe in Jesus. His values will turn your life upside down. You will be a different person. Your sons will gradually come back and want to talk with you. And maybe even your husband may want to come back too. Who would, you know, I mean, it's very sad. But I said, I didn't try to persuade her. I said, you already know. 你就决定吧, 是你的决议啊. So in Acts chapter 17, where did it go? Acts chapter 17, verse 6. Right here. It says, and when they, and this is again, Luke is writing to Theophilus, same guy, but many years later, he's writing more about the history of the church. And when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brethren before the city authorities, crying out, here's what it is. This is what they said. These men, these disciples, who have turned the world upside down, have come here also. Nathan is here. I'm here. Pastor Scott here. We're here to turn the world upside down. We're here to turn the world upside down for Jesus. Use his values to live your life every day. Invest those values for you in your children and your grandchildren. It's an upside down thing. You do that, you turn this world upside down. Brothers and sisters, may God bless you and lead you.